Well, you know, a whole lot has to do with the choices you make. Amen? The choices you have made, the choices you are making, the choices you will make. And so the title of the message this morning is Choosing the Way of Life. And I purposely have this connected with what we were informed about with the works of the Women's Resource Center. And thank you so much for that report this morning. You're a dear sister and a faithful servant. We thank you for your faithfulness down there and your leadership. So please give her a hand of encouragement, would you please? Amen. What are you going to choose for 2013, life or death? And one of the amazing things is that every beginning of a new year, some make resolutions and write them out. Some have some kind of a vague notion in their mind, this year I'm going to do this or that or not do this or that. But one of the things that I think I'm fairly safe in saying that not very many people say, in this new year, I'm going to see how badly I can mess up. Most everyone is wanting to choose a decision that would make their life go in the right direction and be a blessing. They may not think in spiritual terms. They just might, I might be prosperous, I might be successful, I might do well, or whatever names that they want to put in it. But the reality is, as we deal with this subject this morning, choosing the way of life, I want us to look to the Word of God. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the first 10 verses are prophecy. And you understand that the circumstance is that Moses is with the generation of the young people, we'll call them, those that were under 20 years of age when they came out of the bondage in Egypt. All those from 20 years of age and above had all died in the wilderness. Now, 40 years later, here are these that are going to move into the promised land. And God has been giving some instruction through Moses about what they're to do, how they're to do it, and where it's going to go from there. In the process, God said this, if you will do these things, honor, obey, trust, follow me, then this will bring blessing. But if you violate those things, this will bring cursings. This will come upon you. God is addressing them through Moses. They are his people, and yet he has given them very clear and clear direction that this can bring blessing, this will bring cursing. You obey my commandments, statutes, ordinances, judgments, precepts, that'll bring blessing. But you violate those, you'll rue the day. And he goes on in this prophetic position in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It speaks to the issue of God knowing that they're going to do wrong. And he is foretelling what is ahead of them for the future. And he even goes so far as to say, and after you've been to captivity, after you've paid the consequences for wrong choices, the time is coming when I will go out, I'll regather you, I'll bring you back in the land, and ultimately I will bless you. So this bit of information covers a lot of history. But I want us to pick up in verse 11. And my Bible has just this little note in it. Obviously, that's not inspired. It's just the editor's note. But it says the crucial choice before them. Verse 11 says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee. It is in thy mouth and in thine heart that thou mayest do it. Listen very closely. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, listen, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This message that is presented for us in verse 19, think about this statement. I call heaven and earth to be witnesses, to record this day. God, the creator of all, God, the sovereign ruler, says, I call all of my creation to be a witness to what I've laid before you today. And what does God command, urge, propel the people to do? Choose what? Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. I am pro-life. How about you? God is pro-life. Choose life. Friends, listen. Pro-choice, as it has become used, is pro-death. That's really the message. That's really the message. God is pro-life, and he is saying, choose life. I'm laying this before you. You make the choice. But I beg you, God says, choose life. Listen to me this morning, guys. In 2013, every decision you and I will make will have with it the earmarks of life or death. Every choice we make, every decision we make will have either life or death attached to it. Now you say, well, everything is not surely that radical, a life and death decision. Well, now listen to me. The death part of it, the death part of it is, if it's not got God's blessing on it, what is it? That's death. That's bad. You don't want that. But everything that you choose that is according to God and in agreement with what God teaches in his commandments, statutes, ordinances, and judgments, everything that he teaches us, when we choose that, we choose life, and that is blessing. And the result is, wow, that's the way you want to go. That's the life that is for us. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalm 1. You read it in the responsive reading, but it divides very evenly between those who choose life and those who do not. The first three verses are about choosing life, choosing the way of God. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to me, the counsel of the ungodly is the counsel of death. Jerry mentioned a couple things this morning and used the phrase Planned Parenthood. I read an email just yesterday, 903 babies a day are aborted through Planned Parenthood institutions. Your taxes and my tax money is going to help them do that very thing, to slaughter babies in the mother's womb. Okay? Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, there is counsel out there that says, this is the way. You don't want to walk in the narrow way of Christianity. You don't want to walk in the narrow way of the Bible. You need freedom. You need to be able to walk according to whatever your heart desires. If you listen to that counsel, you listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And the consequence is you're not blessed. But blessed is the man who walks in God's counsel. And how do we find God's counsel? Well, it goes on to say, you don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't want to sit in the way of sinners. In other words, sit down with them and partake with them of their thoughts and their ideas and their principles and their attitudes. You don't want to be a part of that. And the man is blessed who is not going to go in that direction, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The mocker who says, the Bible, you believe that stuff? Blesses the man that doesn't let his life be influenced by those very deadly influences in their life. By the way, how many of you know that you're bombarded with that every day? And what you're doing is you're making a choice when you hear that stuff. You're either yaying it or naying it. You're either calling it life or you're calling it death. And we need, as believers, to be aware that verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate when? Day and night. How is it that we can live in this world that is so wicked and so corrupted and have so many wrong counsels out there? How can we live in it and not be consumed by it? The answer is in verse 2. You meditate in God's word day and night. You so soak yourself in the principles of God and the very character of God that you recognize the difference between the lie, the death, and that truth which brings life and joy. Verse 3, and the result is that person who makes such choices shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. It will have the blessing of God on it. Does that describe your life? Because the flip of that in verses 4 through 6, the ungodly, they're not that way. They do soak in the counsel of the ungodly. They do sit down among the scorners. They do stand in the way of sinners and follow the path that they're on. The ungodly will not stand, meaning when judgment comes, they will not successfully pass through without judgment, but instead, they will be judged, and the consequence will be damnation, because God says so. And what we read in Deuteronomy is really being reinforced right here in this psalm. You're either going to be on the side of blessing in life, or you're going to be on the side of cursing in death. And the choices that you make will make all that difference along the way. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 30. The psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. I want you all to do something with me for just a second, okay? This is interactive. I want you to take your hands like this, please. Okay? The way of truth. Can you just do that? The way of truth. What did the psalmist say he had done? I have chosen the way of truth. Now, somebody would ask, how do you know what is truth? You know what the answer is? Because you lay the judgment of God beside it. Amen? I've chosen the way of truth. How do you know what is truth? Because God's word tells you. God's word tells you. You can look at and you can see it. You know, the illustration she used of this young lady who was raised in church, believed that there was a God, on and on and on. You know what she did not have? She did not have the full truth and the application of the truth in her life. And the consequence was she ended up in the counsel of the ungodly. She ended up standing with the sinners. And she ended up in the end result with the scornful and regretted it. You know how many of our young people in public institutions end up in the same boat? Something like 85 or 90%. That's a sad, sad, sad statistic, but it is a reality of where we are in our society today. Turn with me next in Psalm 119 to verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. the testimonies. What are the testimonies? It's the word of God. It's the truth of God. And the psalmist is saying, thy testimonies have I chosen, I have taken, I've laid claim, I've attached my life to them, and I have done that forever. For they are what rejoices my heart. How many of you understand that the liar, the devil, promises something he will never be able to deliver when he says, do this, and you'll be having fun, and you'll be free, and you'll have blessing, and you'll get everything going your way. He's a liar. The Bible says he was from the beginning. Far better it be that God's testimonies are what we take as an heritage forever, and they will indeed rejoice our heart. Look at Psalm 119, verse 173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. The psalmist says, psalmist in dependence upon God, let thine hand help me. Why? Because I have chosen thy precepts. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to live the Christian life? No, it's very, very difficult. In fact, it's impossible if you are not living in close relationship day by day and trust and dependence upon him, laying a hold of his strength to discern, but then to obey and to follow through. Proverbs 14, verse 12 and 16:25 both say the same thing. There's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, just follow your heart? How many of you have ever heard somebody say that? Let me ask, what will the end result be of you just following your heart? Death. There's a way which seems right. It seems like it feels right, I believe, you know. If you do not have God's truth, his judgments, if you're not choosing truth and looking at his judgment and measuring them together, the end result is you just follow what feels good, what seems to be the thing to do, and the end result is going to be death. You will make, instead of blessed decisions, you will make cursing kind of decisions, death kind of decisions upon your life. How can anything that feels so good be bad? If God says it's wrong, if God says it's bad, it is. Amen? No matter how you feel about it, no matter what you think about it, that's the reality. There's a way which seems right. And you know what? That means if you're following the counsel of the world, the way that they say seems right, guess what direction you're going? The wrong direction. You're making bad choices. You need instead to get to God's word. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All of this you recognize is coming out of what we just read together. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. What does that mean? It means just what it says. You completely, totally trust in him with all your heart. And you stop leaning on what? Your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. I got a choice to make. What will I do? Are you going to lean on your own understanding or are you going to go to God? There's your choice. There's your choice. And what does God say? Choose life. I want to give life. I want to give blessing. Choose life. As you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, then there's a follow through. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I just wish I knew what to do. Go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and then look in God's word. He will show you clearly the thing to do. If it seems a little bit questionable, somebody said, when in doubt, don't. Okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, how do I do that? In all my ways, acknowledge him. I say, Lord, here's the situation. What would you have me to do? He says, well, this is what I tell you in the word. I acknowledge him by saying, yes, Lord, that's what I'll do. You know what a lot of people do? They say, Lord, I know that you would have me to do this. But don't you think in just this one situation, there could be an exception to the rule? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever been guilty of doing that very same thing? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what will happen? He will direct your path. You know what sometimes happens? Many times happens. Usually will happen. In fact, if you wake up, you'll see it happen all the time when you're making that wrong choice. You get to the end of a bad choice, and you're saying, why didn't God keep me from this problem?
Duh.
He was trying to. You didn't acknowledge him. You plowed right on ahead. John 14, 6. Jesus is always your best choice. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I want to show you something that's so awesome. Item number 2 in your bulletin, since we know we cannot keep God's law perfectly, what hope do we have to be able to have life? Well, let me explain what I'm talking about in this passage as I put this in here. And that is that, you know, the emphasis in the Old Testament was keeping the standards, judgments, ordinances, precepts, all of God's word. Now, the problem is, what do we know about our capacity to keep God's law perfectly? We can't do it. We've already blown it. And we're told in the New Testament, if you keep the whole law and just break in one point, you're guilty of it all. Okay? So listen to what it says here in Romans chapter 10. Verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Did the Jews lack zeal? No. Today, do the Orthodox Jews lack zeal? No. What do they lack according to the Word of God? They lack knowledge. And the knowledge that they lack is this. Look at the next verse there. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. I've already broken it. You've already broken it. And if it's based upon the law, whether we're going to go to heaven or hell, we're all going to hell. But here's the amazing thing. God sent Christ, who was God incarnate, to live a sinless life among us, to die a sacrificial death, to be buried and raised again to new life, to purchase our redemption, to pay the penalty for our sin, and to give to us his righteousness. And Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. Look at the next verse. For Moses described the righteousness, which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You got to keep the whole law without breaking it ever. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Do you see how he takes this back to Deuteronomy chapter 30? He is quoting from what we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 30 as we're moving along. Although he adds Christ in, it tells us that what was being spoken of in Deuteronomy 30 was Christ. Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we look this morning, since you and I cannot keep the law, we best choose Christ. Because Christ is the fulfillment of righteousness to us. Christ is made unto us, it says in the scripture, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We just got through looking at that. This morning, as we look at this new year that we're into, choosing life, choosing the way of life means that we choose Christ as our Savior. But more than that, it means that we would live by what he taught and demonstrated within his word. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, this is again that high priestly prayer of Christ, but it's important to see this one portion in verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Christ's prayer is that you and I would know God for who he is. And if you know God for who he is, acknowledge him for who he is, guess what choices you will make? Life choices. Choices that honor him, that obey him, and will ultimately glorify him. But it says something else in that verse. And Jesus Christ, knowing him whom thou hast sent. John 10:10. The thief, that's Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it, how? More abundantly. Come back with me to your hands one more time. Have you still got it? Okay. In this left hand is what the thief is offering. Steal, kill, destroy. In the right hand, what do you have offered? Life more abundant. Now, which one of you, I love you, which one of you are going to be dumb enough to choose this? Huh? You say, well, since you put it that way, Pastor, I sure wouldn't do that. But you know what we do? We make choices day by day. There's the liar. There's the liar. Come on. It doesn't apply to you. You're going to get by with it. You're the exception to the rule, blah, blah, blah. Try it just one time. You won't get hurt. You know, what you mentioned in that young lady's testimony is right. That cross and I are having trouble this morning. That is the problem with our society. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. My Bible even says he masquerades as an angel of light, so it's possible to be deceived. It looks really good. But you know what? If we do not choose life and choose God's word as the standards for our life, we will be deceived. If you think this morning that you will not be deceived by the enemy, or at least that he won't try this year, you are already in trouble. You're already deceived. He's going to be after it. He is going to try to bring you down. Why? Because he hates God and he hates you as a child of God. And he's going to do his best to compromise your testimony and to bring you down and bring you to a point, maybe even that you would curse God. Remember the story of Job and what Satan thought would happen. Number three, God's word lays before us the daily instruction we need for every decision we will make, either specifically or in biblical principles that are easily understood if you seek his direction and wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 105. I'm not telling you verses that you haven't read that you don't know. I'm just reinforcing them for you for this new year. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, I need the Cavetts girls to answer a question. Didn't I see Tiernan back there? Tiernan, he can get in on this as well. What does B-I-B-L-E stand for? Give him a hand. What is the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Let me ask you, what do you do with the instructions you get when you buy a product? You're going to condemn yourself. Oh, who needs those? So you throw them away. And then later, I wonder if I had those instructions, it would help me in this situation where I'm not making the machine work like it's supposed to work. The Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Word of God, God's declaration to us is that his Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Say, I wished I knew where to go. Duh. It's in the Word. Proverbs 6, verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. There we're talking about the commandment as a lamp. In verse 105 and 119, it was the word is the lamp. So as we think about God's commandments, when we started out in Deuteronomy chapter 30, that's what God said. You take my commandments and take them seriously, and this is what it'll do. It'll guide you into life and blessing. You break it, it'll bring death and cursing. You've got to make a choice. What are you going to do? My dad said something, and I know I forgot a lot of what he said along the way, but this one made sense to me, and I have profited by it. He says, Dave, you can't live long enough to make all the mistakes, so why don't you learn from others' mistakes and not repeat them? That's good counsel, don't you think? And it says that the reproofs that are out there of instruction are the way of life. The warnings, they're the way of life. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Oh, you want to make the mistake yourself. You want to stick your neck in there and create a problem. When it says hot, do not touch, what do you suppose it means? Proverbs 9, verse 9 through 11, give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, meaning wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Wisdom, by definition, is seeing things from God's point of view. The fear of the Lord, seeing things from God's point of view, is wisdom. And when we see things from God's point of view, then we say, oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because God says so, and he knows everything. He must be right. When you seek God in his word and by his Holy Spirit, and you examine the life of Jesus, you will find he can direct your path if you have a teachable spirit. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. How many of you know that in that same passage in Proverbs 9, if you try to give counsel or instruction or direction to a fool, how will he respond to you? He will hate you. He will despise you. So how do you measure up? Are you open to what God has to say and listening to his instruction, proving that you're wise and wanting to be wiser still? Or, on the other hand, are you a fool that despises God's correction? Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. God's ways are not our ways. They're higher. So if you follow your heart and you don't seek God's word or God to counsel, guess which way you're going to go? Not the high road. You're going to be headed down the low road. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you're following the crowd, guess what? You're going the wrong direction. Finding those few who choose God, who choose life, seeking their counsel and their direction and even their reproof to keep you on the straight and narrow path is a good challenge for each and every one of us this year. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So I just wish I knew what to do this year. If you lack wisdom, what do you need to do? Ask God. Go to the Word. Seek God's Spirit's leading in your life. In conclusion, one of the choices that we as a fellowship have made is to be involved with the Women's Resource Center there in Alamosa. It's our conviction that life from conception is sacred, and that taking the life of an unborn child is murder. We have taken a stand, and as she said, we have been longstanding with them. And I praise God for the faithfulness of this fellowship to stand fast. And I praise God for the men and women who are a part of that ministry who keep on keeping on making the choices that they are making, even though it's not always easy. I encourage you to think about this young lady who's now going to be their representative there on the university campus. How many of you realize what a huge stand that is that she's going to take? Talk about spiritual warfare. She needs our prayers. I encourage you to be in prayer seriously about that. But she made a comment this morning. She said, if just one life is saved, it'll be worth it all. How many of you agree with that? Even just one life will be worth it. But listen to me, listen to me, and listen to me. This is wisdom from God, not me. When an abortion takes place, it does not impact just one life. It does not just impact the babe. It impacts the mother. It impacts the father. It impacts the grandparents of that child that was murdered. It impacts the siblings of the one who went through the abortion. It impacts those who were participants in the abortion. It impacts the whole society that is a part of a death mentality like we have become in America. This is not new to most of you because I've said this from the pulpit here before. This last election and what was being put forth as campaign issues was choose death, choose death, choose death. Choose against God. Choose against the Word of God. And that kind of mantra won the election. And that says one kind of choice that we have made has invited God's wrath upon America. It's more than about just a babe in the womb. We've studied this in our Wednesday night study, and the Bible says that the shedding of innocent blood, when the ground has been soaked up with innocent blood, there is no cleansing. There is no sacrifice for that. 50+ million babes have been killed in America. America has chosen death. And then we struggle with what is going on as we have mass shootings and as we have these catastrophes that are going on. Well, what's wrong? How come we having these problems? Duh. Amen? Choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. And as a nation, we are suffering consequences. We need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to come back and choose life. Begins with choosing Jesus. But that choosing Jesus means that we choose the Word of God, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the written Word, the Bible, and the also living organism, which is the body of Christ, the church. And we put it where it belongs in God's economy and say, if there's going to be a change, it's going to come out of our lives and our witness and our testimony. And as we stand and choose life, there will be opposition. But friends, it's always the right thing to do to choose life. And when you have somebody say, well, are you sure that's the thing? Yes, I am sure, because God says, choose life. Choose life in every decision that you make. Well, what about choose life? Choose God's Word. And God's Word, either specifically or in principle, will give you the answer to what you ought to do. And if you lack wisdom to be able to understand it, all you got to do is ask God. And the Bible says He gives liberally. And He doesn't upbraid. He doesn't say, you dummy, you should have known that. He says, I'm glad you asked here. And he'll give us a response. I do not know, and I quickly admit this, what is ahead for us in 2013. It could be really ugly before this year is out. But you know what? The best counsel I can give to you and to myself, choose life. Choose the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances, the judgments of God. Choose what God says. I'm going to go with God. Say, but Pastor, if you do that, some people might not like you. That's not your problem. That's not your problem. Your duty is to obey God. And when you choose God, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You choose life. Let God take care of them. Amen? This morning, you're here. Most of you I know by face and by heart. I know that as far as I know from your past testimony, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But you know what? You may have fooled me. Or you might be self-deceived. If you know in your heart of hearts this morning that you have never chosen Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your Redeemer, your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You've been churchy, you've been religious, you've gone through motions, but you know in your heart of hearts you've never died to yourself and chosen the life that only Christ can give. Boy, I can't think of a better way to begin 2013 than to get that settled. Jesus invites us to choose life, and he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Have you come to the Father through the Son? You must repent, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. We read it this morning, thou shalt be saved. If you need to do that, I exhort you to do it today. If you're a believer, you've been recognizing in recent days and weeks that maybe God is just kind of tapping on your shoulder and saying, you know, some of the choices you've been making lately are not really the best choices. You know what's good news? This morning you can come to the cross, confess your sin. My Bible said he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. You can leave this morning totally renewed, going out to make life choices that will bring blessing. And there's one other thing that was in that passage in Deuteronomy 30, and that is that the blessing that you would choose would be for you and for your seed. And for your seed, the next generation. What a wonderful choice to make. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. You've made it very clear that you're pro-life. Lord, the choice that you challenge us to make is that one of choosing life and submission and obedience, Lord, to what you've laid out for us within your word. Thank you for grace through Jesus Christ. We know that we've all failed and cannot keep your law, but thank you that we have now righteousness in Christ, and he is the fullness of righteousness applied unto us when we by faith believe in him. So, Lord, as we enter this new year, help us to make those right choices. And, Lord, help us to recognize that we do that by trusting in you with all our heart and leaning not upon our own understanding and acknowledging you in every choice, Lord, that you might direct our paths. Have your way. May you be glorified in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to our closing.